When David Hyde Pierce was cast opposite Kelsey Grammer as Fraser Crane's brother Niles, it was one of the best pieces of TV casting since Tony Randall was paired with Jack Klugman on The Odd Couple. Except this time, both of them are playing Felix. Niles is a psychiatrist like his older brother and is just as snooty when it comes to wine, opera, and other highbrow delights. The brothers Crane are snobbish, effete, egotistical, and insecure. They're also successful in different areas. Fraser is a local celebrity in Seattle, hosting a phone-in radio advice show, while Niles has found marital bliss with Daphne, their dad's former caregiver, played by Jane Leaves. Both Grammer and Pierce have won awards for their sibling roles. Grammer has won 3 for playing Fraser, and Pierce has won 3 for playing Niles. The last time Pierce won was in 1999. He talked with Terry Gross in 1998. Although the actors playing the Crane brothers compete in different Emmy categories, their characters ply their trade in the same field. Though they have a very close relationship, they also are very suspicious of one another and very competitive. Here's a clip from the show.
Hello, I know I'm a bit early. I was hoping we might get a bite to eat before the theater.
Actually, Niles,
it'll be on me, of course, as a thank you for getting those replacement tickets.
Just about the tickets.
I know, I owe you money, and my gratitude, and if I keep talking, you won't be able to tell me that you weren't able to get the tickets.
Just haven't been able to get them yet.
Oh, I knew you wouldn't get them!
Niles, please!
Oh, and now it's too late, it's 6 o'clock.
Please, just calm down. I've made a few well-placed calls. I haven't heard back from a couple of people. Someone will call.
Well, someone better call, because everyone who's anyone is seeing this play. And you know who you are if you're not anyone? You're no one. And I've been someone much too long to start being no one now.
The character of Fraser originated on the show Cheers. I asked David Hyde Pierce if when he was cast in the show Fraser, he studied episodes of Cheers to get a sense of the family traits and mannerisms.
Yes, in fact, that's specifically what I did. I watched a lot of old episodes of Cheers to get the physical behavior, because I felt like when I looked at my own family, first of all, I look more like Kelsey than I look like any other member of my real family. So physical resemblance isn't necessarily the key, but what does happen is people have the same kind of speech patterns and the same physical mannerisms. We've all had the experience of looking in the mirror and being horrified to realize we were acting exactly like our mom or our dad. And that kind of stuff, I thought, was what would let people know that we were really brothers. If we moved in the same way, if we had the same tilt of the head when we spoke, if we hit words and voiced words in a similar way.
I know Kelsey Grammer's a big admirer of Jack Benny, and you can kind of see that in some of his gestures. Did you go back to Jack Benny also to kind of better get to what Kelsey Grammer would be like and register that family trait?
I didn't. That's something else that Kelsey does, which was a whole new kind of acting for me, which is, I don't know if you know the term sampling, which they can do with pieces of sound technology. You can sample the playing of an instrument with a synthesizer. And Kelsey can almost sample famous actors, like someone who does impressions, except what he does is he will incorporate Jack Benny or Betty Davis or James Mason or whoever into the line that he's saying as Fraser, so that it is simultaneously echoes the famous person, but it's really still Fraser speaking. And that gives him this enormous range. I even did a scene where he did Daffy Duck in a perfectly believable way.
Fraser, in a way, the show is a contrast in two types of masculinity. You know, the father who's the retired cop and loves sports and his old easy chair and meat and potatoes. And Fraser and Niles, who, are impeccably dressed and they're connoisseurs of wine and food and furniture. And in a way, they're almost like, they almost embody certain of the traits that are stereotyped as gay traits. Including some of their gestures. And I'm wondering if that's something that's ever discussed on the set or the show.
We don't ever discuss it on the show, although we did address it, actually, in an early episode. There's a famous episode from the first season called The Matchmaker, where a new station manager took over Fraser's radio station, and the guy was gay, but Fraser didn't know it. And Fraser
tried.
That's
a very funny episode, yeah.
It was a great episode. Joe Keenan wrote it, one of our very good writers, and there was a whole mix-up where Fraser thought he was setting up this guy to date Daphne, and the guy thought it was a setup for him to date Fraser, And near the end of it, because of a variety of confusing circumstances, this guy also thinks that Fraser's dad is gay. And finally, it all gets straightened out at the end. And he says, so your dad's not gay? And he says, no, no, dad's not gay. And then the guy says, but Niles, come on. And it was our way of addressing, because a lot of people have talked about the fact, especially with Fraser and Niles and a lot of stuff that they do together, that, as you said, it's a sort of a stereotypical gay relationship, and that they like to dress well, they like fine wine and opera and all that stuff. But there's one critical part of gay relationships which they're not really into, and that seems to me to be the dividing line, and that's more of the anatomical area, which is they both love women. And so I think that the rest of it, as you said, it really is a stereotype if it necessitates them being gay because they like those things. There's a certain sort of, as you describe different kinds of masculinity, there's a very English, as opposed to English peasant, but a kind of an upper-class English feeling about them. Also a sort of Southern gentleman feeling, that it's a more of I guess you could say, a feline masculinity, as opposed to dad or bulldog, who's the sportscaster on the show, who's more of a, you know, eating hot dogs and beans and slapping people around kind of guy.
Now, the writing is so funny on the show. Can you think of an example of lines that you particularly liked that kind of exemplify to you the quality of the writing?
Yes. The one that always pops into my head is there was a scene where the unseen Maris were having a party at Fraser's apartment, and no one can find her, and I explained that she fell asleep and she's under all the coats on the bed. And my line is that she exhausts easily under the pressure to be interesting. And what I love about that line is, if you look at the actual wording of it, it's a little bit wordy, it's a little bit highfalutin. She exhausts easily under the. But what makes it funny is the description of this personality, because in some way we've all been there. We've all been at parties and had to put on that face, and we know how you go home, and it's supposed to have been a party, and you're wiped out from the effort. And she just takes it to the nth degree. So it's a combination of a skillful use of language, but also a skillful just depiction of character. And I think most of the humor of the show, as it should, comes out of situations like that, as opposed to jokes.
Because there's a kind of almost ornate style of speaking that Niles has. I'm sure his cadences are a little bit different than yours. Was it hard to get into that rhythm?
It's a good question. It wasn't difficult. Because it's well written, it's easy to pick up on the speech pattern. And again, because I was sort of modeling it after the way Kels speaks as Fraser, mm-hmm. I had a role model there. One of the things that we are always playing with, and one of the differences between the writers who write for our show and sometimes when people send in scripts that they've written in hoping to get hired for the show, is that the writers understand that there's a subtle difference between someone who uses language in a certain way and just simply writing a lot of big words because that somehow seems to be what the characters are all about. A lot of times we'll find that you have to tone Niles' language down because in a given situation, a very emotional situation, say, for example, he might not fall into those elevated speech patterns that he would have when he's more relaxed and he's talking about the wine club. And I think that's also what keeps him real.
Would you compare your voice and style of speaking with Niles?
Well, it's hard. You know why? Because as soon as I start getting analytical and talking about the show and being philosophical about it, then I automatically almost become become him. Let's see. There's a certain other placement in the voice that he speaks mm-hmm. almost in a little higher pitch than I do. And the pronunciation of the words is just a little bit archer and a little bit more enunciated and, what's the word? That sort of thing. And there's little inflections like that that creep in. Sometimes I'll be like somewhere else in the country and people will say, oh, you don't have an English accent, thinking that I do have an English accent because of whatever it is I'm doing as the character. It's sort of, it reads that way.
Yeah, it's arch and clipped.
Yeah. and a little bit operatic at times. He gets extremely agitated over not very important things. He was just invited to a party where he brought a bottle of 81 Chateau Haute-Brion, and he wasn't there 2 minutes before he heard a pop, looked up, and saw it being decanted into a punch bowl of sangria, canned fruit, and erotic ice cubes. So it is. It's sort of a higher range, I think, when he gets excited about it.
I know you shoot in front of a live audience, which means that there's real laughter that you have to deal with, which will affect the timing. You can't talk over the high point of a laugh. The trick is, I think, if the audience is laughing, and it's a fairly extended laugh, the camera doesn't pan to the audience. It's still on you. So you have to be doing something while you're not speaking during the laughter.
Yes. Well, we've all become masters of sort of idle fiddling and, stirring coffee during long laughs, or you can check your shoelaces and see if they're tied. What it is, it's just fun. It's you try to find behavior that the character would actually be doing in the moment, but what you're also doing is you're feeding the laughter, because it just makes people laugh more when they see you riding that wave of laughter, however you choose to ride it out. If Kels and I are in the scene together, then we can do a good 10 minutes of just making faces at each other until eventually we both laugh and then it's over.
David Hyde Pierce talking with Terry Gross in 1998.